Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Whole Numbers and Half-Truths. What Data Can and Cannot Tell Us About Modern India is a work of data journalism by Rukmini S. that examines India through the discipline of evidence, reporting, and statistical interpretation. Rather than treating numbers as neutral facts, the book asks how data is collected, what it leaves out, and how it can be shaped by political incentives, institutional limits, or public assumptions. Built on years of field reporting, it uses accessible analysis to challenge common ideas about Indian voters, migration, population growth, diet, crime, and social change. The central purpose of the book is not simply to supply more statistics, but to teach readers how to read data critically and to recognize when numbers clarify reality and when they obscure it. In doing so, the book offers a sharper understanding of modern India than broad slogans or simplified headlines usually provide. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how data journalism challenges myths about modern India. The book is structured around the idea that India is often described through catchy statistical generalizations that sound convincing but flatten reality. Rukmini S. uses data journalism to test those familiar narratives against evidence, showing that numbers can either deepen understanding or reinforce misleading stereotypes. Her approach is not to celebrate data uncritically, but to ask what kind of evidence is being used, who produced it, and whether it can actually support the claims made in public debate. This gives the book its core intellectual method data as a tool for scrutiny rather than decoration. The result is a more demanding way of reading Indian society, one that resists easy conclusions and insists on context, uncertainty, and nuance. Readers are pushed to see that broad statements about a nation may be statistically tidy while still being socially incomplete. Secondly, why the book disputes the model Indian voter narrative. One of the book's most important interventions is its critique of the model Indian voter myth. The idea that voters choose purely on the basis of development or abstract rationality. Rukmini S. uses available evidence and journalistic inquiry to show that this framing often ignores how caste, religion, class, locality, and political identity continue to shape electoral behavior. The point is not that development never matters, but that it is rarely the only factor and often not the decisive one. By questioning simplified post-poll interpretations, the book highlights a common failure in public discourse, treating survey outcomes as proof of a universal voter type. This matters because inaccurate electoral narratives can distort how institutions, media, and political actors understand democracy itself. The book therefore turns election data into a lesson about interpretation. The real issue is not whether numbers exist, but whether readers and commentators are willing to avoid forcing those numbers into a neat ideological story. Thirdly, reassessing population anxiety through fertility and demographic data. The book also addresses one of the most persistent public fears in India, the idea of runaway overpopulation. Rukmini S. argues that this framing is outdated and too blunt to describe contemporary demographic change. By drawing on fertility trends and survey evidence, the book shows that population growth cannot be understood through alarmist slogans alone. India's demographic picture is uneven, shaped by changes in family size, regional variation, education, and access to healthcare. This section of the book is important because it demonstrates how a dominant public narrative can survive long after the evidence behind it has changed. The argument is not that population no longer matters, but that it must be discussed with precision rather than panic. In this way, the book uses demographic data to reveal the gap between old policy language and present-day reality. That gap is one of the book's recurring concerns: the difference between what statistics actually say and what people assume they say. Fourthly, the politics behind data collection and survey autonomy. A major theme in the book is the vulnerability of official data to institutional pressure. Rukmini S. shows that data does not emerge from a neutral vacuum. It is gathered, organized, published, and interpreted within systems that can be influenced by power. When governments or establishments try to shape survey outcomes, weaken institutions, or create pressure around inconvenient findings, the quality of public knowledge deteriorates. The book treats this not as a technical problem alone, but as a democratic one, because distorted data can support propaganda and weaken accountability. This perspective helps explain why the autonomy of statistical and research organizations matters. If institutions cannot report honestly, then policy debates become detached from reality. The book therefore moves beyond data literacy and into institutional critique. It reminds readers that trustworthy numbers depend on protected processes, and that data integrity is inseparable from the independence of the bodies that produce it. Lastly, using numbers to complicate ideas about diet, migration, crime, and rural India. The book ranges across several areas of public life to show how data can complicate simple assumptions. It examines dietary patterns to challenge the idea of a uniformly vegetarian India, and it considers migration, crime, healthcare, and work to question popular clichés about the nation's social structure. It also revisits the familiar claim that India lives in its villages, showing that although this may be statistically defensible in a broad sense, it tells us very little about the diverse realities within rural life. This breadth is significant because it demonstrates the book's method across different subjects: look at the number, then ask what it hides, rather than using one case to make a narrow point. The book shows how several domains reveal the same analytical problem, namely the gap between aggregate figures and lived complexity. The overall effect is to train readers to distrust oversimplified national labels and to think more carefully about how averages can conceal variation, contradiction, and social pressure. In conclusion, Whole Numbers and Half-Truths is best suited for readers who want to understand India through evidence rather than slogan, students of journalism, policy, sociology, political science, and general readers interested in how numbers shape public debate. Its practical value lies in teaching readers how to question data sources, notice missing context, and distinguish between a statistic and an interpretation. Intellectually, it offers a model of reading modern India that is alert to both social complexity and institutional weakness. What makes it stand out from many books on India is its double focus. It is not only about what the numbers say, but also about how numbers themselves can be misunderstood, misused, or politically managed. That gives the book a sharper edge than descriptive social commentary and a stronger critical purpose than a simple survey of facts. It is especially valuable for anyone who wants to read headlines, polls, and official reports more carefully, because it shows that good data analysis is as much about skepticism and context as it is about collection and measurement. If you would like to support Rukmini's, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.